The latest edition of the manual US psychiatrists use to diagnose mental problems is causing concern. Some psychiatrists say it turns the normal ups and downs of everyday life into medical conditions requiring medication. Bob Reynolds reports.
The new diagnostic manual redefines scores of mental conditions. Critics say the new...
Hello, it's the director in Doha. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Life. Psychiatry.
Great, thanks for being with us. We're speaking to you shortly in about 2.5 minutes.
DSM-4.
We already have diagnostic inflation in psychiatry. DSM-5 is likely to turn that into diagnostic hyperinflation.
Clinicians use the DSM to diagnose and treat patients. Insurance companies rely on it to pay for medical care. And drug companies are keenly interested in new categories of illness that could be treated with medications. One of the major changes will affect children and teens. The definition of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD, will be expanded. Francis says many kids will be diagnosed who are fidgety and distracted, but perfectly normal.
We're spending $9 billion a year on drugs for attention deficit disorder. Shouldn't we be spending some of that money on smaller class sizes, more physical education in school? I think we're medicalizing school problems, turning them into psychiatric disorders. A diagnosis applied to a kid is easy to do and hard to get rid of. Often that diagnosis will stick to life, and a treatment may begin that will be very harmful in the long run, trying to deal with a short-run problem.
Dr. David Kupfer, the chairman of the committee that produced DSM-5, called those criticisms a gross mischaracterization of important changes instituted to help provide more precise diagnoses for people seeking help. DSM-5 is a guidebook representing the strongest science available to help clinicians provide the best care possible for their patients. Under the new diagnostic regime, a person who becomes extremely sad and grief-stricken after the death of a loved one could be diagnosed with major depressive disorder. People who overeat 12 times in 3 months would have binge eating disorder. Elderly people who become forgetful but don't have dementia could be labeled with minor neurocognitive disorder. And toddlers won't throw tantrums anymore. They will experience disruptive mood dysregulation disorder. Controversial it might be, but DSM-5 is also a big moneymaker for the American Psychiatric Association. It's already sold $20 million worth of pre-orders.
Stand by, sir. Come with you next.
10 best-selling books on Amazon.com. Rob Reynolds, Al Jazeera, Los Angeles.
Well, ADHD is one of those medical conditions many psychiatrists say is being overdiagnosed. In the U.S., attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is diagnosed in nearly 1 in 5 adolescent boys and 11% of schoolchildren. There's been a 41% rise in ADHD diagnoses in the country over the past decade. And sales of stimulants to treat ADHD have more than doubled in the US from $4 billion in 2007 to $9 billion in 2012. Well, let's talk about this some more. Turn to Dr. Lim Boon Leng. He's a psychiatrist in the Gleneagles Medical Center in Singapore. Thanks very much for being with us. First of all, what do you think of the latest version of this so-called psychiatrist's Bible?
I think, first of all, as the report has stated, it's more a guideline than a Bible. So while we will look at the diagnostic criteria, we do have to go into each and every different disorder. And we take a look at it, use it as a guideline, but then the clinical experience and having the patients there, talking to them, getting a very comprehensive and holistic history is very important.
But is it helpful to be expanding the criteria by which we diagnose mental health? When we look at the statistics there, you know, the US has 11% of its school children diagnosed with ADHD, while in France they have less than 1%.
Yep, I think in the rest of the world, I think the figure would be about 6 to 7%. Despite that, I think a lot of us do use the same diagnostic criteria. Again, it depends on the clinician applying the diagnostic criteria, how strictly or how liberally they take each and every one of the diagnostic criteria to be. And because there's a lot of subjectivity that is involved as well in interpreting these diagnostic criteria.
Are we not simply just over-analysing ourselves here? I mean, you know, everyone gets into a bad mood. All they need is a cup of tea and a good chat with a friend. And suddenly, according to this, it could well, if they visit the doctor, be diagnosed as disruptive mood dysregulation.
I think that is true because we do see an increasing trend whereby common day-to-day problems are being medicalized, and it is so easy to just get yourself diagnosed fulfilling those diagnostic criteria. And therefore, I do believe that, yes, people are getting over-medicalized and over-treated for their problems.
And what might be the motive then, if we can delve deeper into this? I was trying to get at perhaps the extent that pharmaceutical companies might be involved in some way in the writing of these manuals, because, of course, they've got an awful lot to profit from.
I think it's inevitable that clinicians work with pharmacological companies in the course of their daily work, sometimes even to help patients and to lobby for patients in terms of medications. And therefore, it is very difficult to tease pharmacological companies' influence directly from the DSM-5. However, I think I do have faith that the clinicians who are involved in the diagnostic criteria are cognizant of this and were aware of this influence and have been able to sort of ignore it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Dr. Lim Boon Leng, thanks very much for joining us there from Singapore.
Thank you.